Acts chapter 4. I want to talk to you about something. We live in terrible times, turbulous times. We live in frightening times. We live in times of unknown. From one day to the next, we don't know what's going to happen. From one day to the next. Would you agree with me? And it seems like the old world is choosing up sides. They're choosing up sides. Have you noticed that? People just choosing up sides. And so I got to thinking. Now, I changed my message. I had a different one. Not much different, but a little bit. And if you want to read turbulent times, go to the book of Acts. And if you think Christianity's always been easy, which it is in America, it's really easy. On our worst day in America, Christianity is easier than the book of Acts. Amen? Amen? And but if you think that Christianity's always been a bed of roses, you need to go back and read the Bible. You know, it's man, Christianity. You just got in a battle when you got saved. You were just drifting before that. And nowadays, people are choosing sides. You know, what crowd you belong to? What crowd you belong to? What crowd you belong to? And here in this passage of Scripture, here's some people that showed the world what crowd they were in. What crowd they were in. All right, Acts chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 23. Verse 23. Now, of course, here's a couple guys just got out of jail. And then when they got out of jail, as they were leaving, they said, now don't talk anymore about Jesus. They put them in jail for talking about him. Now they're telling them, now we're going to let you out, but don't talk no more in this name, okay? Not in this name. And being let go, they went to their own company. You see that? Their own crowd. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain things? Now, I just read that, preached on that the other week. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Now, they're talking to God. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, they're reminding God of his word. They're reminding God of what's happened. And they're reminding God, God, this was your will. You had predetermined all of this. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word.
Amen.
By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus.
Amen.
And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And look at this. And they spake the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
Now get this picture. They were being beaten. They were being persecuted. Peter being preaching the word of God, being thrown in jail. And when the jailers and religious crowd got scared, the crowd was going to storm the jail or something to get them out. They got scared of them, and God put that fear in their heart. That wasn't going to happen. And then they let them go. They said, now we're going to let you go. But remember, don't you talk anymore in this name of Jesus. And so they go back to their crowd, their company. And when they get to their company, they rehearse all that happened. And so these people, look at it in verse 24. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They all prayed this together. One accord. They were on the same page. Your church has to be on the same page.
Amen.
You got to be in one accord. You got to believe the same thing. You got to want to do the same thing. House divided will not stand. This poor building here went through pastor after pastor after pastor after pastor, and a lot of times they just wasn't on the same page. But these people got on the same page. They were in one group, one crowd. They said, this is our crowd, right here. And they began to pray in one accord together. And it says they lifted up their voice to God in one accord, and they reminded God of who He is and of what He's done for them, and how it wasn't no surprise that Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, and it was not a surprise what was going on, and it wasn't a surprise that it was Peter put in jail, and it wasn't a surprise that people were being killed for the faith. And then they told God, now you look down here and you behold these threatenings, God. You behold these threatenings. You see what they're saying to us. You see how they're threatening to us. And He said, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness their crowd, may speak thy word, the word of God. Everybody's got opinions. Everybody's got political opinions and all this stuff. But I want to hear, what does God say?
Amen.
What does God say? Now, you can have your opinion. You're entitled to it. I'll listen to it. I'll let you say it. But let God be true and every man a liar. Every man's opinion's tainted with some lie.
Amen.
We all are. Amen? We came out lying. Amen? You never had to teach a baby how to tell a lie. They grew up lying. You never had to teach a young man how to steal. You had to teach them not to steal. You didn't have to teach them how to do bad things. That comes natural. That's our sin nature. You have to teach them to do right. Amen? And so everybody's opinion is tainted by personal problems, whatever it might be. So let's let God be true and let every man be a liar. And said, listen, you behold what's going on here. And I want to preach to you today on our crowd. Our crowd. Amen? During this time, Rome was a threat to Jews. And then the Jews that became believers in Jesus Christ, Rome was a threat to the believer. But now it's even worse. The other Jews are now a threat to the believer in Jesus Christ. And they whipped them and they put them in jail. And later on they'll kill them and they'll stone them to death and they'll crucify them. And the Romans will throw them to lions and they'll tie them to two horses and pull them apart. And they'll burn their children in front of them, and they'll rape their wives in front of them as believers. Terrible time. There was great division. The crowds were dividing up. Y'all listening?
Yes.
We live in a time when the crowds are beginning to divide again. In America, it used to be Christianity was not tolerated. It was America, basically. I know everybody wasn't saved. I was. But the basic tenets of Christianity was what we all lived under. And we just knew that. But, of course, in my generation, it began to fall apart. If you want to blame anything on anybody, blame it on the baby boomers. We're the one that started this mess. We had to get saved to get out of it. And it's just went downhill ever since. Now, you listen to me. I have a crowd now that's a follower of the Creator of the universe. By Him all things were created and all things consist. He's my God.
Amen.
Now that separates me from other people. I don't separate myself from other people because I don't like people. I don't like their color. I don't like their race. I don't like their religion. They separate from me. I love everybody.
Amen.
I care. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I grew up poor. I don't want anybody to be poor. You probably can't out... Danny's probably the only one that can outpour me in this whole building. I get to tell him my poor stories. He's got one worse every time. My daughters, my grandchildren said, Daddy, don't tell those stories. They're sad. They're sad. I said, yeah, but I'm glad now I got saved. Amen. But I'm in this crowd. He put me in this crowd. I didn't put me in this crowd. He did. Now, once again, the world's against what I believe in my crowd. Let me read you a story. It comes out of a book called Insanity of God, and it's a true story. There was a man named Dmitri. He was a Russian Christian, and he started teaching his family the Bible in communist Russia. Soon they sang songs together as well. Others in the neighborhood wanted to hear the Bible stories and sing the songs. He was put in jail and charged with starting an illegal church. Even though he wasn't a pastor, but just a believer who wanted to worship Christ and do it privately. Now, this wasn't way back. This during the presidency of Jimmy Carter. The authorities warned him to quit. He took his job. And finally, the authorities broke down his door, arrested him and his family for sharing the Bible. He was sentenced to jail for 17 years. He was the only known Christian at the prison with 1,500 other prisoners. And don't think this is so far out for our country. This could happen here. His cell was a 6 feet by 8 feet. He was tormented often, but he never broke. He had two things he kept up that were taught him by his father. Now get the picture. They're beating this man that lives in a 6 by 8 dirt floor cell, no bathroom, no shower, no running water, for 17 years. And they beat him every day, trying to get him to deny his faith. He wouldn't do it. Every morning he stood up, he faced east, and he sang his heart song to Jesus, the song that his father taught him. The prisoners would yell at him to quit and throw things at his cell, but he would not quit. Each day he sang to Christ towards the east. Also, he would find a scrap of paper and write as small as possible every Bible verse and every Bible story that he could. And he would offer the paper to God as an act of worship. You feeling guilty yet? All you had to do was get up and come to church. After many years, Dmitri was taken to the courtyard to be beaten to death. As he was dragged out to be beaten, 1,500 prisoners stood and faced the east and sang the heart song to Jesus that he'd been singing all those years. He didn't die. Dmitri was soon released from prison because the soldiers feared him as a child of God, because he converted 1,500 prisoners. Now, we live in challenging times. But Dmitri, just like Peter and Paul and Silas, they found their crowd. Look at verse 24, the first part of that verse in 24. And when they heard that, they lift up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Now, look at verse 31. In verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Another verse says great boldness. They spake the word of God with boldness. This is a worshiping crowd. This is a worshiping crowd. They're not hiding out somewhere in their bedroom or their living room or somewhere. They are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16 says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This was a worshiping crowd. They worshiped God in their presence. They were gathered together. Read the book of Acts. Every time they wanted the power and the presence of God, they were together.
Yes.
And they'd pray and they'd worship God in their prayer. And they'd remind God what a great God He was and the great promises He had made and kept and how He had promised them things. And they would remind God that in their worship as they looked up to heaven, they would worship together. They worship with their presence. They also worship with their praise. He inhabits, the Bible says, the praise of His people. You ever want to feel God, just start praising God.
Amen.
Just start praising God. Walk out to your mailbox and say, praise God, I can walk today. Hallelujah. Praise God, I can still see today. Praise God, I can see that squirrel over there. Hallelujah. Praise God, I can still breathe. Wow, praise God. Amen. Praise God, I still got a wife that loves me. Praise God, I still got children that love me. Praise God, I got an old preacher down there. He ain't much, but I can call him if I need him. Praise God, I got those people down there, and we ain't the biggest crowd in town, but they got a big heart. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Ought to be dead and in hell. And the more you praise Him, the more you'll feel His presence.
Amen.
That's why we like to go to church. He inhabits the praise of His people. And people get to praising the Lord, Brother Billy, and the hair will start standing up on the back of your neck right there. If it ever happened to you, you probably shave your neck. But you probably get those goosebumps running up and down the back of your spine, on your arm, you know. Go, wow. That ain't the air conditioner. That's God. Amen.
Amen.
That's God. He inhabits the praise of His people. That's my crowd, the worshiping crowd.
Yes.
My crowd ain't that crowd that hides out somewhere and they're scared to death somebody's going to find out they're a Christian. Amen.
Amen.
My crowd's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We like to go to church. You don't have to beg us to go to church. Hey, just call a meeting. We'll be there. Amen. I told this story over and over. Jeffrey's probably got it written down. You know, that boy got saved. You know, he told that preacher. He said, preacher. And I did the same thing. I went to my preacher. I said, what do y'all do around here? He said, well, we have Sunday morning church. I said, yeah, I've been coming that. What else you got? He said, we got Sunday school. I said, Sunday school. I never heard of that. And I said, what else you got? He said, well, we got Wednesday night church. I said, what are you doing Wednesday night? He said, well, we have a Bible study. We pray over a prayer list. He said, and then sometimes we have revival. I said, revival? What's that? And then he said, we got vacation Bible school. I said, what is that? And he goes on and on. And finally I said, well, let me know. I want to be in all of those. And so that old boy's talking to his preacher, you know, and he goes through this list. He says, look, the old boy says, listen, preacher, I want to be at every meeting you have. If you have a meeting to do anything, I mean, if you got a meeting to spit off the front porch, call me. I want to be at the meeting. Some of y'all knew this. Not spit on the front porch, spit off the porch. I like that crowd. Amen. I like to see somebody get saved. You know why? They want to be a part of my crowd. Amen. They used to be a part of that other crowd. Amen. I saw some pictures yesterday. There's a new black militant group and there's a new white militant group and they're all marching and they're all, matter of fact, one group, they don't know anything about guns and they all carry guns. I read where one of them shot his girlfriend in the foot or something because he didn't know what he was doing with his gun. But there's all kind of groups, you know. You got this hate group and that political group and that political group. Well, my crowd's the Jesus crowd. Amen.
Amen.
And we don't have to agree on everything, but we'll agree on Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to be there when they worship Him. I want to be there when they praise Him. Hey, they pray to Him as a Savior and for provision and for providence and for power. They pray and they praise God. Amen.
Amen.
I like, boy, I like it when some of these people, especially new Christians, God will get in on their praying.
Yes, sir.
I like that. When I remember the preacher used to call me. I couldn't do nothing, just stand there and cry. I just, Lord, help me. Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, I'm in hell. Lord, hey, amen. When you first get saved, I like that kind of praying. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so that's my crowd. And then I want you to see something, this crowd here. Look at verse 32. In verse 32, it says, and the multitude of them that believe were of one heart. And of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. You see that? And with great power, God gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things, prices of the things that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Listen, that was a working crowd. Now that wasn't this new crowd that goes home, sits there, and waits for the government to take care of you. Amen. Baptists used to sing, they don't sing it anymore. We'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, then we'll be called away home. Now we'll draw a government check till we get another president. We'll draw a government check till we get another president. We'll draw a government check till we get another governor. Oh, shut up. Hey, man, I ain't depending on the government. As soon as they change leadership, you might lose your check. Amen. But let me tell you something about this was a working crowd. Did you know the reason they worked? Because they had love one for another. Now, I don't care who you are. It takes work to love. It takes work to love people. And then on top of that, if you're going to love somebody enough to do something for them, you got to work to do something. You can't. Most people pray for me. I'm sick. Okay, we'll pray for you. And as soon as they're out of sight, that prayer is out of sight. Well, pray for me. I ain't got no food. Oh, we're going to pray for you to get some food. And as soon as they get home today and finish eating that great big old chicken or that great big old ham, they're going to be forgotten. That woman even said, pray for me. I ain't got nothing to eat. Look, it's a working crowd. It takes work to love people. It takes work to minister to people. And the results of that work was, look at it right here. Neither was there any among them that lacked. On Wednesday nights, when some of y'all used to come to church, you remember we had a love offering? Every Wednesday night we have an offering that says others offering. And in this church on Wednesday night, all the offering goes to others. And so if somebody in this church gets into financial state, and by the way, we've given out thousands of dollars. If somebody's in need, we help them. We help them. And so, but you know, somebody had to go to work to make that money. And do you know what work really is? You know what work really is. It ain't money. It's time of your life spent. Time of your life spent. You know, oh, I make $20 an hour. Well, look here. Maybe you don't understand this. What you really did was sold your life for $20 or an hour. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with that. And don't matter what they tell you in that liberal school you might go to. Listen, there's nothing wrong with work. The Bible says, man, don't work, you ought not eat. But if a man can't work, we're to help him eat. Amen? Come on, help me here.
Yes, sir.
That's my crowd. I'm with the working crowd.
Amen.
I'm not that pious crowd that sits around and says, well, we'll say a prayer for you. And then me go home and eat like a pig and they starve to death. Amen? I'm not going to do that. And look at verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Now, I'm not going to watch my brother starve. I'm not going to watch my sister starve. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to watch them sleep on the sidewalk. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to finance people's habits.
Right.
I'm not saying that. They didn't do it here. Is this working? Is this working? I know what I'm telling you. Listen. It was a working crowd. They loved one another. They one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things which he's possessed, but they had all things common. Of all people on planet Earth, our crowd ought to love each other enough that none of our crowd should be hungry or naked or cold. All that ought to be common stuff. Now, if you want a Corvette, you got to work to buy that yourself. But if you want a Corvair, we might can help you. Some of y'all don't even know what that is, Corvair. Amen. And hey, that's my crowd. They work. I grew up working. I don't know about you. We have ruined a whole generation of people not making them work for what they want. I got my driver's license that I earned money to pay for. And my mama said, okay, if you want a car, you can go to work and pay for it. Then my mom said, okay, if you're going to own a car, you can go to work and pay for the insurance. Then my mama said, if you want a car and you want insurance on it, then you need to go to work and buy some gas to put in it. Amen? Amen. Oh, you like that new style, those jeans? That's good. Go to work and buy you some. Amen. Hey, I think that Christians ought to be the workingest people in town. I can see that went over real good. Let's go to the next point. Look at verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles great witness of the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Now, did you know why he gave them the power? The power and the presence of God, he gave it to them because they were to do something for him with that power and with that presence. We got this crowd running around now, and they go to church, and 1 hour a week, they just... Just like they did when they were on LSD. Yeah. Where's the power in that? Yeah. Who's going to get convicted by the Holy Ghost? Who's going to be convicted of their drunkenness or their adultery or their homosexuality because you... Or that's what Billy Burgess did with his on acid. That's what some of y'all did when you was on Jim Beam. Amen.
Amen.
He gave them grace. He gave them presence. He manifested himself to them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the same power that he used to bring himself up from the grave and out of that tomb is the power, Brother Ron, that he poured down on these disciples to give them holy boldness and power to stand up like that man that went to jail when all hell was against them and when everybody else was making fun of him and everybody else was talking bad about him. God gave him great grace and the power of the Holy Ghost that he could stand every day, face east, say some scripture, sing that song, and be a testimony to 1,500 people who mocked him and made fun of him every day. These same people who had just gotten out of jail. Most of y'all ain't never been to jail. You'll thank God you never been to jail. One day we're going to get Danny to stand up here and give you his testimony. You'll thank God you never been to jail. Amen, Danny? Just when it's getting good, I let Danny talk. Listen. They just got out of a jail where they were beaten. I'm not talking about... I'm not talking about an LGBTQ or SPB. I'm talking about a Roman whip beat. I'm talking about beat unto death but didn't die. And they were released and they went back and their crowd rejoiced and thanked God and looked up to heaven that they were even worthy to be beaten for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the crowd that's running around here now calling themselves Christians quit church because the preacher hurt their little feelings.
Yeah,
or because they didn't get that new Corvette when they prayed. These people laid down their lives testifying of the power of God, that it was so powerful, not only would it raise Jesus from the dead, but it would empower you to have holy boldness and speak the word of God without fear or faith.
Amen.
Amen.
That's my crowd. I'm not a mean person. I'm not a hard person. Anybody knows me knows that. But I like the crowd that stands.
Yes.
I like the crowd that don't back up.
Yes,
I like the crowd that sings, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. That's a hard song. That's my crowd. Go ahead. Laugh at us. Go ahead. Make fun of us. Go ahead. Get your crowd together and have your little protest and carry a sign and burn up some building that you didn't even pay taxes to pay for, and we did. But we're not going to change just because you're doing stuff like that. Go ahead, throw us in jail. It may come to that. Throw us in jail, but we'll just go to jail and sing Amazing Grace and try to win everybody to the Lord. We'll start a prison ministry while we're in there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You do whatever you want to do. But I'm with that working crowd, that loving crowd. And then I'm with that witnessing crowd. He gave them great power to witness. Look at it again, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He gave them power. The Holy Ghost filled them. And with His presence come power, and it comes bravery and all these things you need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, Brother Ed. There ain't no wimp. There's no wimps that are witnesses. Those two W's don't go together. It takes boldness to stand up and talk for Jesus Christ in a public place. Even in your own family sometimes. That takes boldness. Amen? You say, I just don't believe that. Go ahead and try it at work this week. Go, I dare you. Try it. I've been there. I mean, when America was at its best, a lot of us lost promotions. When America was at its best, a lot of us lost raises and positions we could have had. Hey, when America was at its best in our generation, and while we were at work, we tried to witness, and some of us lost our jobs in America.
Yeah.
Because we chose this crowd. I want to be with that crowd that has great power to witness. Look here, there's two reasons for me to be saved. Number one, so I won't have to go to hell, and God gets the glory. Now, because of that, if anybody gets saved because I'm saved, and they're supposed to, by the way, if you're saved, you ought to be able to lead somebody else to Christ. You ought to pray for power that He'll give you the courage and the ability to do that. And so, if anybody gets born again, they believe on Christ because I did, you know who gets the glory for that? God does. So He doesn't mind, Brother Michael, giving me that power if I'll ask for it.
Amen.
I'm not the best preacher in this town. I'm not the best speaker. I'm not the best pastor. I'm not even the best Christian in this room. But I'll tell you this, I've seen a lot of people saved. And I don't mean it somebody else's meeting. I've seen a lot of people saved. And it wasn't because I'm a great speaker. You're sitting there now bored to death, half of you. But I'll tell you this. When the power of God gets in on your talking, they're not going to be bored. They're going to be convicted.
Amen. Come on.
You said, well, they all heard that before. Yeah, but did they hear it from somebody that was filled with the Spirit?
I said, that's right. Yeah,
heard. That's right. Did they have the power of God whenever they talked to you about Jesus Christ? That's my crowd, the witnessing crowd. We need to get back to witnessing. I'll tell you one thing about this, and I'm late, I know, but there's several things about what's going on nowadays, these people picking crowds. It's a scheme of Satan. This has never happened before in America. This is a scheme of Satan. And here's the reason why. If he can get these people divided up into all these groups, hate groups, every one of them's hate groups.
That's right.
Every one of them's hate groups.
That's right.
Except the believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If he can get all these people divided up in these groups, guess what? He's going to hinder the preaching of the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If he can slip the Communist Party in here, and he has, the Democrat Party, and I don't care what you think about that. If he can slip the Communist Party in here, which is an atheistic, godless doctrine, he can stop the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I just read you what happens in a communist country. You'll go to jail. But my crowd is the crowd that says, okay, Not my will, but thy will be done. And Lord, if you'll give me the power to witness, if they put me in jail, I'll just be a witness in jail.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. If they kill me, as so many millions before me, if they burn me at the stake, I'll preach the gospel while I burn.
Amen.
That's my crowd.
Yes, sir.
It's a witnessing crowd. Man, I ain't got time to preach all this. Look at verse 37. Having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at apostles' feet. Did you know this was a blessed crowd? Did you know where God leads, He feeds, and God takes care of His children, and He supplies all of your needs from His riches and glory in Christ Jesus? I've never seen a saved, living right Baptist. Let's just go a little bit farther. I've never seen a saved, living right, tithing Baptist that had need of anything, any necessity. Every necessity is met. They may not have their wants, but they have their needs met. All you need is clothes, food, and a roof over your head. And a good church. But God, look, God will take care of your needs if you'll surrender to Him, make a commitment to be a witness for Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Ask Him to fill you with that same Holy Spirit. God will supply your needs while you do what He wants you to do. I say it all the time, and I'm not bragging, but I want some of you young people to get this in your head. Every day, me and my wife pray, and we say, Lord, supply our needs. Give us health and give us wealth so we don't have to worry about these things and be busy about taking care of that, so we don't have to do that, so we can be a witness to others and serve you and others, not worrying about that other stuff. That's my crowd. You get so wrapped up in this world and things of this world, you get following this crowd trying to get money, and you'll forget God. By the way, I've seen so many that didn't have it and got it and left God. If that's all it takes, God will give it to you.
Yeah.
Or you're this crowd, you know, they chasing lust, you know, and that Weinstein guy, whatever that guy was, they said hung himself, they really hung him. And now they got his girlfriend. And boy, you get to following that kind of perverted stuff. And then you get to following this crowd and that crowd. And pretty soon, you know what? You hadn't read the Bible. You hadn't prayed. You hadn't sung a hymn. You hadn't worshiped God. You can't be a witness in that crowd you're in because they're not going to hear it. And then all of a sudden, you wake up one day down at the hospital and say, Lord, what's happened to me? Or you wake up somewhere down beside a grave somewhere and say, Lord, how did I get so far off base that this has happened? Or you might wake up in jail not for preaching but for something else and say, God, how in the world did I end up in jail?
Right.
I'll tell you what, there are many crowds today. But I found my crowd. March 5th, 1978, I walked down that aisle. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about a virgin birth. Thank God I wasn't raised a Catholic or something. I didn't know anything about vicarious atonement. I didn't know anything about a bodily resurrection. All I knew is they said Jesus was the Son of God. He lived that sinless life I can't live. And then He died in my place to pay for my old sorry sins. And they put Him on that cross. And He paid for my sin, and that wasn't the end of the story. The third day, He got up out of the grave, and He walked out victorious over death, hell, and the grave, so I could be victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and I don't have to worry about going to hell anymore. I don't have to worry about dying anymore. I don't have to worry about starving to death anymore, going naked or anything like that, because He's going to supply my needs. All I know is that's my crowd.
Amen.
Well, what about your political affirmations? Well, hey, if they agree with the book, I agree with them. If they don't, I don't. Well, what about your denominational picture? Oh, shut up. I don't have a denomination. Oh, you're a Baptist. I'm Baptist. That's what they call us.
Right.
We don't have an independent Baptist. We don't have a president. We don't have a vice president. We don't have a secretary. We don't have a dispute. We don't have all that stuff. My president's God.
Amen.
Vice president is Jesus Christ. Amen. The secretary of the Holy Ghost, he's keeping the records. Amen. I'm about to preach myself happy. Listen, let me tell you something. It's about time we decide what crowd we belong to. Well, you're just old-fashioned. If that's what you want to call it. That don't bother me. By the way, these old people you keep looking at making fun of, we invented cool. Who do you think you are? I grew up in the 50s and 60s. We invented cool. You ain't never had a 57 Chevrolet. You ain't never even rode in one. You ain't never had a 56 Chevrolet. You ain't have a 56 Ford, and I wouldn't recommend getting one. But look, you think we're old-fashioned. We are. We go all the way back to the first century. There it is. What crowd you in? Look, I just want, look, when they put me in that grave, which I won't be in it, my body will be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. But when they have my funeral, Brother Ron, if you preach my funeral, okay, I want you to tell people, he ain't here, he's gone.
Amen.
Because he chose the Jesus crowd. And Jesus took him because to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And not only that, Jesus is coming back to pick up this pile of dirt right here and change it into something beautiful. That's the crowd I'm with. Amen. And I don't care if you're a Democrat, and I wouldn't know why, but I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, or Independent, or I don't know what you are, but I'll tell you this, if Jesus is not in your crowd, you're in the wrong crowd.
Amen.
And I'm not just talking about Sunday either, I'm talking about every day. So what are you going to do, preacher? Well, tonight I'm coming back to see the Jesus crowd. Wednesday night I'm coming back to see the Jesus crowd. And while I'm out there in the world, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about the Father. I'm going to talk about the Son. And you say, well, what if they beat you? I'll just talk some more. What if you lose everything you got? I can't. But if I could, I'd just keep on talking. And you know what that does for me? That gives me peace. So what crowd are you in? There's only two. And I'll stop. Matthew 12:30. Jesus said, he that's not for me is against me. And he that gathereth not, if you ain't bringing people, he that gathereth not for me, spread them abroad. You're sending people to hell. That's your two choices. Are you saved today? I mean, has there ever been a time in your life where you took Jesus as your Savior and he took you out of the world and he put you in the family of God? That makes you part of his crowd. Let's stand. If you're not saved today,